This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Friday, September 28th, 2007. I'm Caleb Brown. With tainted toys, dog food, and other products from China receiving great attention, what's the best response here? The Cato Institute's Jim Dorn says fixing that problem requires China to implement transparency, the rule of law, and reforms of liability associated with poor quality. He says the impulse by some domestic firms toward government intervention on behalf of product quality, however, might simply be protectionism in disguise.
Well, obviously, consumers want to protect their children. They want to protect themselves against tainted products, in particular food and toys and toothpaste and even pet food. So it's up to, you can have the liability on the consumers, in effect, and say consumers beware, like it used to be, or you can put the thrust of the liability on the companies. And in today's global economy, especially U.S. producers are liable if they make mistakes under tort law in the United States. And they can easily go bankrupt if they make a major, even sometimes a minor mistake that may snowball. So consumers want to have a transparent system that they know the quality of the products. And right now, I think that's what scares them, the uncertainty with respect to these imports when we have these global supply chains.
China has responded fairly severely to some of the problems with products that have come over here in the past.
Well, that's right. Just in the recent past, I mean, they executed one of the heads of the product control group in China, in Beijing. But executing officials is not really going to solve China's problem. China's problem is one of transparency, a lack of rule of law, lack of liability, intellectual property rights that aren't well defined. So that's not really a long-run solution to this problem. I think the problem is really going to be solved primarily not just by China, but by U.S. companies taking greater responsibility for quality control in China. After all, these are primarily joint ventures with U.S. firms, with Mattel and Fisher-Price and so on. And it's up to them, really, to have inspectors on the ground in China and make darn sure that the products are safe. And they obviously have not been doing that.
Does this send a signal to other countries that have some of the same endowments that China does to perhaps adopt certain reforms?
Oh, definitely. But the third world countries, emerging markets in Latin America and so forth, have been injured by toothpaste, has basically been hitting down there. So their consumers of Chinese products are worried, but if you look at China itself, the Chinese citizens have suffered dramatically, a lot more than U.S. Consumers or other consumers, by poor product quality. This has been a long-standing issue in China, and I think this will be a warning signal that they have to do something about it themselves. And the Chinese hate losing face, and this is what's happening now. The made in China label is not as well regarded. And if they want to increase their world exposure for markets and become a world-class producer, a manufacturer, they're going to have to get their house in order as well.
One of the groups that markets India to global entrepreneurs advertises the fact that they have an independent judiciary and a free press and things like that. It would seem that a situation like this really sort of stresses the importance of these types of transparent institutions.
That's true, but you don't see too many made in India labels in U.S. households. The rule of law is an important component of a society, obviously, and China has to move in that direction. And the state-owned firms in China are going to be less transparent than the privately owned firms, I think, in many cases. But overall, as I said, it's a question of firms that invest in China and do production with Chinese firms have to take a firm stand and improve product quality. And they're doing that because Mattel suffered significant losses as a result of this poor product quality. Either, magnets were in some of the products or toy products or lead-based paint. Now, they could change the standards, too. They're saying now, for example, that even small amounts of lead-based paint can be extremely harmful. So the overall standards are changing as well. So you're not going to get perfect safety, obviously. There's always trade-offs. And if U.S. consumers want safer products, they're going to have to pay a higher price. And I think, obviously, they'd probably be willing to pay a higher price. They don't want to take a chance with their children's health and so forth and their own.
How has the toy industry in the United States responded?
Well, the Association of Toy Manufacturers is asking Washington to require all manufacturers of toys in the United States to have inspections, required inspections by independent laboratories. I think you don't want the government getting involved in that fashion. The market's much more resilient and flexible. If Mattel's stock value starts going down on the New York Stock Exchange, they're going to take actions very quickly, and they'll make sure quality improves in China and hence on the products they're selling in the market. What we don't want to see is U.S. industries, in effect, using safety as sort of a guise for protectionism. We don't want to increase protectionism to get, quote, 100% safety. That trade-off is not worthwhile. We want a cheap source of imports, but we want to have quality control as well. And I think it's very dangerous to get the government too much involved in that, because after all, the government can't have an inspector on every street corner. The U.S. consumers will back away from products that are not safe, and that's going to send a very fast and clear signal to producers to get their act in order. And if we use that as protectionism for, restricting food imports, toys, et cetera, from China, China's going to retaliate. So we've got to work this thing out in a rational and a speedy fashion.
Jim Dorn is the Vice President for Academic Affairs at the Cato Institute. This is the Cato Daily Podcast. Please consider making a donation to the work of the Cato Institute at our website, cato.org.